Now, before we get started, take your clothes off. Walk into my spa. Take a deep breath in through the nose. And exhale out through the mouth. Do you want to feel incredible? Do you want to feel unstoppable, unbeatable, amazing? Do you want to have the greatest silly season you ever had, both on and off the pitch? Well, all you've got to do is get hold of some award-winning AG1. Athletic Greens. Take it every day with a bit of water. Shake it up. Oh, shake it up, baby. And you'll feel absolutely incredible. We're also giving you 5 free travel packs and a year's worth of vitamin D. All you got to do is click the link and buy some AG1 now. You're welcome. Enjoy the pod. More love!
Pints are bloody free. Have I told you I've got a high basic salary? Making money, now that's the key.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to the Rugby's Podcast, episode 160. We are one day away from the start of silly season.
Here
There's a man jumping up and down like a rabbit next to me. Mr. Archie Curzon, how are you,
Do
sir?
Know it's silly season now.
Well, they sure do now. They sure do now. Come on.
24 hours, baby. 24 hours.
What do you do 24 hours before
business
silly
cards at the ready? 24 hours, mate. It's like preparing for a big rugby match.
Okay.
It's just mental, physical preparation, getting in the right food, getting in the right nutrition, because I've got 25 days of hardcore lash.
Well, silly season starts this year on a Friday, which is quite odd.
It's brilliant, mate.
Okay.
It's brilliant. That's how you want your silly season to start.
Okay, sorry, my bad.
You know, you want to start strong. I don't know where you were going from that. You want to start on a Monday, do you?
Well, I don't know. I think you get the whole weekend, you're in the city, whereas Friday, you're going to be at home on the weekend, aren't you?
Mate, I'm like a business private jet ready to take off. I'm on the ground, I get to Friday, I'm just about to take off, get to Saturday, and by Monday, I'm in the air. Destination, silly season. So it's the perfect way.
Are you going to be drinking Thursday, doing Thirsty Thursday? Surely.
Don't be so ridiculous.
Oh, well, sorry.
I mean, like, I'm basically at the start of the race, mate.
Okay.
You know, I'm probably warming up on Thursday. If this was a 100-meter sprint, I'm warming up on a Thursday. Friday, I'm at the line. On your marks, get set, alarm goes off, do my naked press-ups, do my naked jumping squats, do my naked sit-ups, have a 20-minute ice cold shower, go! I'm straight out the door, into a breakfast, samosa in hand, eggs, no toast, extra avocado, extra bacon, extra sausage, get that protein in, enjoy the business meeting, probably get that deal done, out of the restaurant, on the phone, straight into the Ned, lunch with another client, beer in one hand, business card in the other. I deliver some of the finest chanter City banter's ever had. It's a long lunch. We decide to go for a few extra drinks. Those extra drinks end up into dinner. Then the deal is done. Dancing's had. Fun is had. Money is made. Back home, sleep, and I'm ready to do it all over again.
Lots of people asking, how are you going to survive the whole day, though? Because it's a long 25 days, as it is. But how are you going to survive the whole day? Because last year you had pre-workout, which really helped you get through the day.
Okay, Fred.
But how are you going to survive throughout the day?
Fred.
Yeah?
I mean, that question, considering we're 160 podcasts in, it's quite insulting.
Why?
I don't see you going to ask Danny Kerr, like, how are you going to get through this long rugby season? Mate, I'm a season pro of silly season. This is number 18. I've only had 1 year on pre-workout. The rest were done good old-fashioned way. Pants around the ankles and beer in the hand. And that's how I'm going to tackle this beast.
Okay, sorry. I thought others were fueled by pre-workout, but that's incredibly exciting. What is the number one, apart from obviously your Japanese client coming over for Christmas, which I'm still guessing is still happening, what is your number one highlight of silly season going
to
be?
There's not one event that I'm particularly looking forward to. They're all good. It's silly season, Fred.
Right, okay.
Fun is at the forefront. Actually, business at the forefront with fun just lurking behind the corner. It's just the fact that I'll always have company. You know, there's not one time I'll be
never
like, only when I sleep, only when I sleep will I not be talking to someone.
And even then,
that is what really excites me. And in between, the bits in between the breakfasts and the lunch and the breakfasts and the dinners, they're the fun bits, because that's where you're actually doing the business.
Oh my God, again.
It's so exciting. It's like, I don't know, it's like Christmas Day over and 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 over.
Right, okay, okay, now we get it. Yeah, we get it.
It's great.
Okay, so it's an incredible exciting time.
It is. I don't know if you can tell, but I am... I'm ready to go.
You're pumped.
I'm ready, Buster. I'm ready.
I was thinking maybe your highlight would be your company work Christmas party, which I want to ask you about, because I think for the next couple of weeks, instead of doing Clubhouse stories, we will get people to write in about the worst things they've done at their company's Christmas parties and hear some stories there.
That's a good idea.
But have you ever had a shocker yourself?
That's a really good idea. That deserves...
That's seriously good. Chat.
And also, this is a really fun button.
Coots Bank. The best bank to bank with.
They're not sponsoring us.
I know, but the more they hear it, the more they might get interested. Also, and Lululemon one. For men. And those men are definitely not massive dickheads.
Oh, we've got a legal case coming on our hands.
And also, just because they're a brilliant make, and I do think actually this is the kind of podcast they would like, is this button.
Helly Hansen Jackets for the guy who knows where he's going.
Well, I love that button.
That was a good.
I'll do that one more time because that is a new one and I think people like it.
Helly Hansen Jackets for the guy who knows where he's going.
Oh, actually, come on.
Okay, one last one.
Another one.
For me, that's vintage button.
Yeah, well, that was the original one.
That
the
is
OG,
vintage
wasn't
button. His connection with DJ Khaled has allowed us to do that button. Although we've never had Mario on this podcast, I doubt he'll ever
DJ
do this
Khaled.
Podcast.
No.
You know, it's nice to have that button.
Nothing for silly season.
No, bum for silly. No. There's a button for all occasions.
It's silly season!
It's so silly. That button's so silly.
But Archie, okay, enough of the fucking buttons. Can you just please answer my question? Are you looking forward to your Christmas party? And have you ever shamed yourself at your Christmas party?
No. I'm very tactical at the Christmas party. I very rarely get too lashed. I let other people do that. And then... ideally use that to blackmail them to further my career in the company.
Okay,
but no, I've got my eyes on one of the PAs, Jennifer. We've been having a bit of flirtatious banter over Teams.
Okay.
So I'm hoping that sort of flirtatious banter
progresses into something.
Yeah, but it's just awkward because her husband, he works in accounting.
Oh, right.
He'll be there.
Is it a shared Teams account or is it
No, just a personal, okay, it's just private.
That's
private
quite
Teams
a good tactic
chat.
Though for those looking to...
Yeah, yeah, get your Teams chat in or your Slack chat in.
Is that a tip of the week?
That's the tip of the week.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's that time of the week again. It is time for Archie Curzon's Tip of the Week. Thank you very much.
Looking to have an affair at work? Don't use WhatsApp because your girlfriend, husband, wife, or partner might find out. Use your company Teams. Direct message the person you'd like to have an affair ahead of the Christmas party and do a cheeky little bit of affair BD. You're welcome.
Talking about ladies you love, you've got a lady you admire in the comedy world, in the acting world, the wonderful Laura Smith on the podcast
today.
Yeah,
we're an unlikely duo.
You really are.
Because, you know, I'm very privileged and well-to-do, rugby lad through and through.
Southwest London.
Yeah, and Laura is from East London.
Yes.
Has never stepped foot in the business world.
Was a school teacher.
We've become fairly good friends over social media. And, you know, I'm always inundated by people saying, why don't you get girls in your podcast? It's not that I want to try. We've tried the whole of the England rugby team. They just don't want to do it.
It's like a Dickensian novel, a working class lady coming together with a very posh and horrible man. But should we just get her on? She's been waiting in the room for a while.
Yeah, let's get her on. I guess what we'll do is just draw back the curtain. The microphone's in the center stage. Guys, put your hands together. Please welcome the very, very talented and very beautiful Archie Curzon.
Well, I should say we are delighted to be joined by comedian, esteemed winner of the Funny Woman Award in 2019, Laura Smith. Laura, a month till Christmas, you're looking wonderful. Are you feeling festive? Do you enjoy Christmas?
Of course I do. I love it. I love celebrations. Yeah, I'm going to probably maybe do a Christmas tree this weekend. Can't hold out till December.
No, fair play.
I'm a cultural dupe. I fucking love it all. Give me something to spend my money on, I'll do it.
Yeah, I'm a sucker for advertisement. I'm thinking the same. And now I'm a single parent. You know, I think it would be nice for my daughter, Johnny Jono, to see a Christmas tree and, you know, she can put the star on the tree.
Well, last year you spent the whole of Christmas doing a fast.
I did a fast. I did a Christmas Day fast, 24 hours, not eating. I got my daughter involved, which actually coincided with her going to hospital.
Boxing Day, the whole day.
You have to, and any parents out there, if you've got a baby under the age of 5, they do need to drink water and eat food. And if they don't, they lose a lot of weight, but it is detrimental to their health. What about yourself, Laura? Have you ever enjoyed a fast? Have you ever done a fast?
I've done a 7-day fast before, can you believe?
Okay, yeah. And how did you find it? I mean, I love it. I love the mental game of it. It's incredible.
It's trippy, isn't it? You get kind of, you see God and then you start, like, then you think maybe I should just have a sip of something.
Yeah. I like to start my week off, you know, from Monday lunchtime to probably Tuesday morning, I'll fast. And that's where I do a lot of my thinking. That's how I cover the market and am so successful. And well, you know, I'm known as Mr. Rig in Clapham, you know.
Well, I want to know, you know, we've got an award-winning comedian here, one of the greatest in the country. But I mean, you're just sort of a self-blabbing, self-proclaimed businessman, CEO of Clapham. How does a self-proclaimed working-class East Londoner award-winning comedian end up worshipping the solemn word of a posh guy, you know, a posh idiot from Clapham, essentially? Like, how are you guys connected?
This is what we're aspiring. My favourite thing in the whole wide world is when working class people, mostly drug dealers, appropriate you people, your brands, your kids' names. We've taken Arabella from you, that Arc'teryx fucking brand. We ruined Barbar, we've ruined Burberry, we're coming for you. And Clapham's next. It's a hostile takeover, I feel it. So I could say I'm his fan, but really it's market research.
Yeah, well, I appreciate it. I mean, I was actually very upset when you took G-Star from us. That was a brand I really liked, and then all of a sudden it went down the drain. So, Bloop, just promise me you'll stay away from
Carhartt.
Jack Wills.
We're coming for Carhartt.
Okay, Carhartt's fine. Just leave Jack Wills out of it, okay? It's been with me from the beginning, and it's a wonderful brand. It's a wonderful, wonderful brand.
Well, hopefully they leave Jack Wills alone, Archie. Laura, let's talk about 2019, your debut comedy show. And within 5 months, you are an award-winning, supposedly the best female comedian in the whole country. But that first show, most people have a horrible night out. How was yours? Was it a horror show?
No, it was good. It was good. It's adrenaline. It's an adrenaline sport is what it is. So I didn't come down for it for about a week and it was good. And the gig I did it in, and it was in Cavendish Arms in Stockwell. And in my head, it was the size of, Royal Albert Hall. But when I went back a second time, I couldn't believe how small it was. So yeah, it was just a kind of, it was an out of body experience. And I think you just get addicted. So it is an addiction. It's not, someone said it's a diagnosis. That's what it is. You don't choose to be a stand-up comedian. It's a diagnosis, and I stand by that.
How did it all come about? How did you decide? Because, you know, a lot of the guys in the office say to me when I do quite a lot of funny stuff in the office, got great stories about nights out, and everyone say, they say, Archie, you should be doing the Apollo Live. And I say, there's too much money in the city. I haven't got time between the city, CrossFit, yeah, and rugby. But how do you decide that you're going to go and do stand-up? And I mean, there'll be people out there, probably listeners to this podcast, who are probably thinking, maybe I should do that. Tell us about the journey.
Well, I don't know how earnest I need to be. I get really earnest on podcasts. Basically, I admitted to my husband that I wanted to be a stand-up. I always wanted to do it and didn't have the guts to do it. So he started telling people, I was teaching for a long time. And he'd tell people I was a stand-up and a teacher. That's what he'd say. So she's a stand-up and teacher. I said, well, you can't say that because I'm not. And then as a wedding gift, he bought me a stand-up. He bought me one day's writing course with a stand-up comedian. And then and I was like, oh, my God. I was a little bit like, oh, I'm with my people here. And then it took me a little while to still get brave enough to do it. And then, yeah. And I was going back to work after my third child. So I got three. So I thought, oh, my God, it's a long time to pretend to give a fuck about GCSE results, 30 years. And I just had this kind of, you know what else? I heard that Ricky Gervais, I might be wrong, my research might be wrong. I heard that Ricky Gervais started at 37, and that was my asteroid splitting moment. I thought, well, if I don't start now. So I just started at 37 and just thought, sod it. But you got stuff to say when you're in your 30s. No one cares what someone in their 20s has got to say, I don't think.
Do you think that is sort of an advantage that you've lived a life? You've got things to talk to and people can relate to that. And I mean, everyone maybe below in their 20s probably haven't really experienced the ups and downs of life. Do you think that's to your advantage?
Yeah, of course. It's got to beat you up a bit. And also, you just got to not, you can't care, can you? You know what I mean? You can't care. You've got to be single-minded. And I think it's like now in my 40s, it's like a superpower because you just don't care. I don't know what it is. If I had the confidence I have now in my 40s, when I was in my 20s, I could have conquered the world. But I would have been a nightmare if I did it in my 20s. I'd have probably shagged every promoter. I'd have just done it all wrong. You know what I mean? I'd have just been rotten. I'd have just been so vulnerable. But I would have just been like too vulnerable. But you know who you are in your late 30s. So it's nice. And also, You know this thing of like women ain't funny. Have you heard this?
Not me, but it's been bad around my office quite a lot by my boss. But he was born in the 70s.
Yeah, but it comes. I saw this thing that said, you know, like if your dad hits his head on a cupboard or falls in the swimming pool, you'd laugh. But if your mum did it, you'd be like, oh my God, mum, are you all right? Do you know that way?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I think you've got to be I think you've got to be especially seemingly invulnerable as a female comedian. No one wants to worry about you. If you're talking about, you know, whatever you're talking about, you don't want to have to worry about that person on stage. And I think there's something about being older and knowing who you are. No one's worrying about you. You can be the idiot. Do you know? Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
No, it doesn't. And it's actually made me think maybe there is a market for me, because, you know, I'm lucky. I've exuded confidence since I was about 16.
Mm.
And, you know, I've had ups and downs, Freddie.
Yeah.
2 years ago, I found out my dad wasn't going to pay for my ski holiday.
What?
Yeah. And that was at rock bottom for me. And I realized that actually all this, you know, spare income I had to use it. And I was planning to invest heavily in the built-on and watch market.
Yeah.
So maybe there is, I mean, write it down. I might look at this place. I mean, it's in Stockwell, so it's not too far from Clapham.
Try and get you to Camden Jumps, okay.
Yeah, we could do it.
Have you ever shagged around to get a job? I mean, obviously, all Laura mentioning there that she would have done in the 20s.
Not to get a job, but to up myself in society, yeah. I'm very much of that ilk. And, you know, if I meet a girl, you know, I have said, her parents have to have a second house. Otherwise, you know, my dad always said, and I remember after his fourth marriage, he said to me, you know, if you're going to get married, make sure she's a good investment. And those little nuggets he gives me, that's why we're such good friends.
Well, we're talking about your father there. You're both in love with a man called Alistair. Have I got that right or have I got that wrong?
That's right, yeah. My husband's called Alistair.
That
yeah.
is right. Okay, and he's a musician?
Oh, my God, yeah, he is.
Well, okay, I'm earning brownie points. No. I'm bringing it back.
I tell you what, yeah. I'm really, really proud. Considering I found you had going nowhere in life.
I was on the street. And
literally brought you into this world under my wing. That is wonderful, wonderful research. Well done. Creepy, but good research.
But it was obviously down to Alistair. He gave you that, you know, one-day comedy course. You then become the greatest female comedian in this country, which is amazing. Or comedian, whatever you want to call it. But pre that, you were a teacher. You did mention being a teacher. What were you teaching? And any horror
English.
Stories when you look back at the times of looking after the I don't know, annoying kids?
The youth, yeah, loads of horror stories. Yeah, I was an English teacher. I was the fun guy, you know. I wanted to make it fun for the little rats. But those super horror stories. I taught loads of in a girls' school in East London. There was good fights. There was drama. I always used to try and introduce them to my musical taste because they liked to. It was a bit trap, 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 trap. So I played them a lot of Johnny Cash and Dolly Parton. And after playing that, I remember I played some kids and Dolly Parton. I said, right, girls, what have you learned from that? A girl put her hand up, true story, girl put her hand up, she went, I don't know, how to spell divorce. That's quite funny. But yeah, just generally love it. And I live in the same area I taught in, so I still see all the students and they go, oh, miss. Or you get Larry ones that go, oh, miss, ain't seen you on telly yet. So they're nice.
Whereabouts in East London are you from?
I was born in Manor Park, E12, and then I'm in Forestgate. I've probably moved about half a mile up the road, but still, all my family live around here and all that, so it's good.
Do you ever go to East London?
I very rarely venture. You know, obviously Canary Wharf, I guess, is in East London in some aspects.
Yes.
I spent my gap year there.
Yes.
But now, you know, our office is Bank. I know people. I know a couple of guys I went to school with who live in East London, Hackney. They work in advertising and have a really bad coke problem. But luckily enough, I mean, they're in a fortunate position where actually their parents will be able to pay for their rehab. Once they've decided they don't want to do coke anymore.
Mm-hmm.
For me, you know, it's not an area. I like Clapham. Yep. I've said it before. It's a safe area. You know, I'm with other like-minded people. And, you know, why not? I think it's a safe option. I went from school, which was really safe. You know, we actually had gates around the school not to let other people in. And then we've gone, then I went to Canary Wharf, my gap year. Obviously then went to Bristol, but yeah, and I met other people from similar backgrounds. And I just stuck with them. And then we all moved to Clapham and we've just built this wonderful life where, you know, you don't do anything.
It's essentially a city in a city.
Yeah. I do that. I go to the same shop every day. I get on the same tube every day. I go to the same gym for the last 5 years. I go in the same holiday places. I stay in the same hotel.
What a varied life.
Yeah, no, I love it. I love it. Okay. I wouldn't have it any other way. It's a fun
memory. Were you in Clifton in Bristol?
Yeah, I was in Clifton.
Clapham.
Yeah, no, that's what gave me the idea to go to Clapham. I like the safety of Clifton. I sometimes ventured down White Ladies Road, but that again was a terrifying. I actually did find myself in a nightclub called Fecla once, which was the drum and bass night. A lot of people were talking with a lot of energy there, which I did like. That inspired me to go and work in the city, actually, when they're all moving their mouths very quickly and talking extremely hard while dancing. I thought,
very
this
passionate.
Is impressive.
Laura, do you ever venture southwest? Do you ever come to Clapham? You're doing a gig in Clapham Grand, or you've done one recently?
I did with Grace Campbell. She's from the School of Hard Knocks, just like me. You know, she's earned everything ever got.
Of
you
course
know.
She is.
I do have this weird love for super privileged people. I don't know why, because they don't give a fuck, that's why. But yeah, I did Clapham Grand. I do gig in Clapham. I like going to gig in Clapham because you find out where all the money is. That's where it's hiding, you know. Yeah. You think, where's this cost of living crisis coming from? And then you go to Clapham, you go, here it is. Nice. I like it.
That, by the way, that's still going on. I just let everyone know, someone in my office told me the other day that the cost of living crisis, that's still happening, not a flash in a pan.
Okay.
So
do you want to give a message to the listeners? Or?
Just support your local shops. You know, I've been spending a lot more time in Waitrose, actually, and making sure that, you know, they're maintained. Otherwise, you know, they could go out of business and we'd be in absolute disarray.
Laura, have you found...
Wait, can I just ask a quick question? Sorry. Is Grace Campbell Alistair Campbell's daughter?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Right. Okay.
Makes
but
sense?
She don't cover it up. She loves
no.
it. She
no,
talks
no.
to it. She came out to a gig. This is why I love Grace Campbell, right? She came out to a gig at Clapham Grand, dressed up to the absolute nine. She looked like absolutely $1 million. And she was like, she came out and everyone's whooping and cheering. They're hysterical about it. She went, yeah, yeah. She goes, yeah, I'm rich now. Like this year. And then she goes, JK, I've always been rich.
Oh my goodness.
She just doesn't give a fuck. Well,
is she single? Because you are. This sounds like quite a good pairing.
I mean, yeah, if she's ready to step up to... I mean, it does sound like it'd be a great investment. Whether I would argue with her father on the political side, I'm not too sure. But yeah, could be. Actually, that'd be a great introduction. I mean, she's looking to take over, be a parent to my daughter.
She's got a dog as well.
You've got a daughter.
So we'd be basically a four-child family.
Yeah, you would be.
Yeah.
This would be quite beautiful.
That's perfect. That's Clapham's demographic. It's a mother
perfect.
And father and a dog and daughter.
Laura, I want to ask you, since you've got your newfound fame, and we are going to delve into, obviously, 2019 and then, you know, going to lockdown and all those wonderful things. But before we get there, have you found yourself being a bit more outrageous with your... Do you look back at the old Laura and go like, oh, I am a bit more outrageous nowadays. Like, I'm, you know, a bit more fruitful with my expenditure, or like I'm doing things which are kind of I used to laugh at. I become a bit of a cliche celeb at all in any aspect whatsoever or not?
Yeah, I just had a photo shoot on Friday for a Sunday magazine, and it was click 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 flash bulbs, and had my team around me. I had my whole PR team, my tour team, had a makeup artist and stylist, and I just thought I fucking love how much I hate myself right now. I just loved it. Do you know what I mean?
It's a wonderful feeling.
Cool. Of course, and just things get easier, don't they? It's just that soft life. You realise, not having to worry about jumping in a cab here and there. And there's things that you're not counting.
People
money
still use black cabs. You sort of realise that. Yeah, it's quite incredible, isn't it?
Two things, just quickly. Can you put out some feelers to bring in a team for me?
Sure.
Like that's something I need. Not just you, but I need like other people around me.
Okay.
Ideally a photographer.
Let's talk about 2019, because obviously you start to become incredibly famous around the country, then suddenly, wait a sec, we're about to go into lockdown in early 2020. How frustrating was that? You know, suddenly you're realizing your dream of becoming the best stand-up comedian in the country, and then you're being forced to go look after your three kids and your husband.
Yeah, it felt personal. It felt personal, if I'm honest. That's how narcissistic I am. It felt like, hang on a minute. It was a little bit, how the fuck has that happened? So yeah, but it was quite good, because when you get signed by an agent, really they're like letting you work the circuit and blah blah blah. So actually, and they wait a while before other things happen. But actually, I had loads of meetings with producers, and then got a script development deal with a BBC, so worked on that. So yeah, it sucks really. It was all right.
It was actually pretty
struggle for other comedians, not Laura.
Yeah, it was actually a great lockdown.
Laura, you're like the Clapham of comedians. You're like, yep, well.
Do you know what it is though? Everything's a head game, isn't it? I mean, I know it's not motivational talk, but you know, I won't lie to you, I did have a full mental health breakdown to the point of like, you know, like I weren't okay, but that made me go, well, hang on, I've got to get okay then. So I kind of just got my head together. And also it just made me want to leave teaching more. I love teaching, but trying to do all that online and all that sort of stuff weren't the one. So it made it easy to leave and it was good. The script commission helped, but it was good.
Do you think, like, because a lot of what I do in the city is about confidence, you know, some days I feel like crying. No joke. I get on the line and I'm crying.
Yeah.
Not with my eyes, with my mouth. You know, how I cry. But a lot of it is to do with confidence, the way you perceive yourself. And do you think in terms of not just comedy, but in your industry, do you think a lot of it is just being capable to have the confidence to hold the room, to make people believe?
Yeah, 100%. I always do well in clubs where I know I'm loved. You know, I go, I always do well there. That crowd love me. So I just then made the decision. I decide in every gig I go, I just decide they love me. I was in Balham all weekend, and that's your crew.
Yeah.
And they love me.
Yeah.
I just decide.
Did you go to Soho House?
I do, I'm a member.
Yeah. Little House, just for in between
where
your gigs.
Where did you do in Balham?
Bedford. Banana Cabaret. It's nearly 40 years old. It's one of the oldest in the country. I did a gig there and Jack Whitehall's mum, Hilary Whitehall, come to watch. I think he was touring in America and she went, yeah, I'm just off to Laura. And he's like, what in the parallel universe? Because I opened for Jack Whitehall and she's lovely. But that's mad, isn't it? But the it's more, the confidence comes from, I practice gratitude. So I just enjoy each day. I enjoy each day, do my best work each day, draw a line on it, and it all just seems to come together from that.
What about hecklers? Because I have a few in my office, but I've sacked them. You can't do that in a gig. How do you deal with it? And does it ever get to a point where, you know, you're just like, have you ever been defeated by a heckler?
Be a couple of times. Some hecklers just want to be involved in the show, or they're talking and they're choppy and chipping in and chopsy about it. And it sounds wanky, but obviously jokes are all about building attention and you're breaking attention. So when there's distractions in the room, it kind of ruins it. But most hecklers just want to be involved in a show. So you can warmly kind of bring them in, put them in their place, carry on. But the worst hecklers are just when they're absolutely so far gone on the drink or the cuff and that, and they just can't stop. Do you know what I mean? They can't stop themselves. And when they're like that, you just can't do anything. And top secret once, there was a front row of like drunk. They were just so drunk. And I did for a while and I came out and they were just off their face. They couldn't really control themselves. And then one of them got up and he had to get escorted out. And he goes, you're shit anyway. If you were any good, you'd be at the store. Like that. And I told the story like he screamed and snarled in my face and walked out, like phoned my husband afterwards. But the joke is, the video came, I watched the video and he weren't like that at all. He just sort of went, yeah. But how I felt it and remembered it was so OTT. But like, yeah, usually, you know, you don't take it personally. Do you know what I mean? Very rarely someone takes against you. Some people just don't like you and that's all right. But if they want to be involved, I can handle that. If they want to talk shit, I'll put it back to them. But when they're too far gone, that's when it's a problem.
I have a very similar attitude when I'm sort of running around Clapham Common. You know, the odd occasion someone will decide to sort of abuse me in a banterous way. But the nice thing about Clapham is it's, you know, even when they call you a dickhead, it's banter.
It's banter. Yeah.
And I laugh. I laugh with it.
Yeah.
Commercial break.
Be a 52, a gift from me to you. 8 free beers and snacks, you know. So just click the link, don't you hold them back. Don't be waiting in the queue for someone to tell you just don't. Cause you're always drunk and the ladies take note. Okay, but what? The cheek is where the line, if you give them time, silly season can't be wrong. And when you least expect, everything connects, even when the hope is gone, there is Lash. and your last show the same. And the things in this box just might see you through. Cause this deal feels right, and in darkest night you shine. And I guess we're doing fine, but we'll be lots better with a free box of beers which cost us no cheddar. Which fucking bit don't you get? Click the link in the bio, get 8 free beers and 2 free snacks sent to your house immediately. All you gotta do is pay postage and packaging. Do it now, enjoy silly season, get loose. You're welcome.
Do you get any abuse on your DMs, like from weird and wonderful people? And actually, on top of that, I saw you doing a wonderful interview on YouTube I was watching a couple of nights ago for some research, and you were talking about the lack of people sliding into your DMs for sexual advancements. I know you have a couple from some weird people. What are the weirdest sort of abusive and sexual DMs you've got then?
Well, TikTok now, I must have asked for it. On TikTok now, I've had a few sugar daddies, a few sugar daddy offers, which I don't know I'm tempted by. And... still no dick pics. I do, I've got quite some people like, just say horrible things and that's it. And I've had when I did a nationwide advert, and that was in lockdown, I did one of their nationwide adverts, which I didn't, they paid you to just film it. So I thought, oh, sweet, I'll just film it. I didn't know they were going to use it. Honestly, it looks like I filmed it on a potato. It's so awful, right? And it ended up getting picked. And so it was like on for 2 months. And the thing is, those adverts are a nightmare. Even when I was choosing one to pick, to send, I was annoyed by my own voice. And I got a DM slide by some guy that's like, just let you know, I fucking hate you. My whole fucking family hate you. We fucking hate you every time you're on the telly. And I was like, and then you just sort of delete and block and then you forget about it. But I mean, it's still smarts. Obviously, I'm talking about a few years later. But that was a new level of resilience, you know, putting reels online and people just saying you're not funny and you just, who cares?
What's a sugar daddy start with? I mean, like, what do these messages say? What are
baby,
they asking for?
How much?
Yeah, hey baby.
Hey baby.
So you saying what you wrote?
Yeah. I said, hey baby. I've got a 6-figure salary starting with a 2. Fancy delivery tonight on me?
Yeah. I mean, that's what hooked out. He knew what to say. But no, it's all hey baby, wanna be my sugar baby? I love your vibe on here. I love this. All I just want is company. I'll pay your rent. I'll pay this. I'll pay that.
Sounds so, quite tempting.
So what do you?
It's tempting.
So, and what are the best? What are the best ones you've had? What are they more convincing? Just
just the rent, and I buy rent. You things. I just want company. I don't want anything else. It's all like that. So
no sexual advances, just company. Okay.
Yeah. They don't. Yeah, none of that.
See if that works. It'd be nice to. Yeah. Okay.
What was it like being on tour with Jack Whitehall? Sort of a friend of the show, but not yet officially. What was it like being on tour with him?
It's good. He's a very, very, I think he's a very generous comedian. Do you know what I mean? He gives you like, he hypes you up when he introduces you to the stage. He's funny. He's on it, man.
He's like, I
would think he'd be like casual about it, but no, he's nervous before he goes on. So he's getting in the zone and he's serious about it, man. He's a hardworking guy. I mean, he fucking works harder than I've been in writer's room with him because I wrote for Bad Education and, you know what I mean? We all break for lunch. He's jumping on a Zoom. I've never known anyone work so hard, to be honest.
He's rumoured to be coming on in the next couple of weeks. Ooh. And he follows me on Instagram. Okay. And it has been about 3 years of me singing O-Town songs to him down Instagram, but eventually I think after the 7th Liquid Dreams version, I think he cracked and thought, okay, this guy's mentally unstable, I better save him.
Especially before Christmas.
Yeah, love it.
Oh yeah.
You mentioned writing for Bad Education, BBC3's most successful comedy. We had DJ Beats from People Just Do Nothing on the other day. If you watched that, what a brilliant show that was. But this is obviously Bad Education, BBC3's other great, great comedy hit. How did you get involved in that? Because, you know, it's a wonderful show. And also, what is it like working in a writing room? Because, you know, you're normally used to writing your own gags and then suddenly you're around a table.
Well, it's nice because obviously we were reshaping it because they did a big reunion show where it was like with Jack involved and Mr. Vickers saying goodbye. And it was like bringing it into the future. And so, yeah, they, I think... The producers at Tiger Aspect were like, we need a young, freshest comedians. And my agent was like, nah, you need Laura Smith. She's just been a teacher. There's nothing she don't know about it. The youth them. So I jumped involved and it was nice. It was really broad strokes at the beginning. And watching Freddie Sideborn and Jack White, who wrote the original and brilliant, working together is funny. You know, it's just that kind of, you know, that bit when you go into a professional meeting and you're all getting coffees and having a laugh and then you get down to work. A writer's room is that bit where you get coffees and have a laugh all day. Like, that's what it is. Do you know what I mean? It's like, when I first started comedy, I had no interest in being famous. I just want to be in writer's rooms. I didn't know that they weren't really a thing in England. So I kind of manifested them, you know, but they are the best way to earn money in the whole wide world. I mean, then you have to go away and actually write your script. But yeah, just topping up gags, throwing ideas, whittling stuff down to the best possible thing. And Freddie Sideborn, again, Jack White, they've got such a kind of good instincts for how ridiculous you can push a scenario. So I've never written anything personally like Bad Ed, where it's just like, let's just take the piss, let's go as far as we possibly can, and it works. And yeah, there's a bit in Bad Education, and I had said something like, Fraser, you know, he should print memes off to use. Then Jack pushes that. He's like, he should print the whole internet. But you know, it's just like the dumbest kind of take it to the next level. So it's always nice to watch people go as far as they possibly can. So yeah, it's really nice, really good places, yeah.
You're about to go on a tour of your own next year, a huge national tour. The question we all want to know is, what's in your rider?
I got really told off. My mate's friend, who's her husband's a musician, she told me off when I do corporates that I always just like, oh, we'll just have a lime and fizzy water. She's like, you want a fucking litre Jack Daniels, a litre vodka, you know, like. So if I'm doing corporate, it gets a bit silly. But now I'm a basic bitch, man. Coke Zero, water, Tyler Haribo, maybe.
Do you still drink a lot? I mean, obviously you're doing a lot of comedy gigs the whole time. I'm guessing you're gigging 3-4 times a week, or you were pre maybe lockdown. So then, yeah, were you drinking a lot of booze? Like, is it a lifestyle a bit like music where you're gigging and you're drinking or not?
No, I don't. I just, because it's the adrenaline. I love the adrenaline so much. I couldn't drink. I sometimes drink if I'm emceeing because I think, oh, I wonder what I'll come out with. But when I do a set or nothing, I couldn't drink. Well, A, because you would do it all the time, but there's something about the adrenaline that makes your brain do stuff, and it's so exciting. It's the biggest buzz. To drink to me would just be a stupid thing. And I just think, I know it sounds bad, but if I see someone having a few pints before a set and after, I dismiss them as a person in my head. I've gone.
Oh, yeah,
it's not
yeah.
me. That is not me.
Yeah, no.
Throwing shade. Yeah, I don't drink. That's what I'm saying.
And
I judge them as it do.
Yeah, I mean, I've tried drinking on the job a few times just to see exactly what Laura said, see what I came up with. You know, if I said anything good, and that might boost morale in the office.
Didn't work.
No, it didn't work. No, I was a disgrace. It was my first official warning at work. So yeah, didn't decide to do that.
What about a rider? Do you have a rider for work? Do you have a rider for rugby?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've now 6 months clean from pre-workout. But
congratulations.
I mean, that was used to be my rider. If I was doing corporate gigs, I mean, I do a lot of sales gigs in the city. You know, FX companies will get me in and I'll just G them up with, you know, my chanter. My city banter. That was always, I always wanted a wrap of pre-workout before I went on, just because that would add to the adrenaline of a live performance. But now, no, I just a couple of boiled eggs, a floret of broccoli, and a Tupperware full of chicken boiled with no skin on. Okay. That's exactly what I want. I'm very simple. I'm not really precious.
No, you're not that rock and roll.
I'm natural. I'm loosey goosey. You know, you see me, I'm on my quarter zip. I'm just, you know,
you're fluid.
You wouldn't know how successful I was on the Northern Line unless you spoke to me, and then I would tell you.
You tell me,
yeah. Because it's important to, off the bat, if I don't know you, just to make sure you know I'm successful. That puts me there.
Laura, talking about judging people for drinking, I mean, not judging people for drinking, but, you know, slightly judging people for drinking. Being a stand-up is such a sort of, you know, wonderful purified art form that surely when you watch other people do their sets, even if they're funny, you're kind of stopping yourself laughing. Are there any times when you're kind of watching people and you're like, oh, that's good, but I don't want to laugh? Like, is it quite bitchy behind the scenes? I'm not saying necessarily you, but just in general.
Yeah, it's all bitchy, but everywhere's bitchy. But it's not really. There is a fraternity about it. And you're waiting to be delighted. I'm chuffed to bits when I've seen someone especially when I haven't gigged them. People that I've come up with, if we haven't gigged together for a while and you realise they've leveled up and we don't mind saying that to each other, we're excited to see that. And yeah, it's a fucking delight when someone's done a bit that really has nailed something. No. I mean, it's kind of hard to make other comedians laugh. We know what's going on, but it's a delight when people have smashed it. And also it's really funny when people don't. Real comedians, we really laugh at each other when someone's bombing. That's in a kind of,
what's the worst epic bomb you've ever seen?
I once, there's a really good comedian called Luke Chilton, and I once did a gig sort of Bethnal Greenway, and he it was meant to be a new material night, but he came out and destroyed, and I kind of followed him and was just sort of mumbling through some shite, and the crowd was so mwah. And I was just so rubbish, and I came off and just all the comedians burst out laughing in my face because I was so shit. They were like, what the fuck was that? I was like, I don't know. But yeah, it's funny. It's funny to bomb. That's, Norm Macdonald said it. It's a funny thing to, by definition, try and make people laugh and not do it. That's it. Hilarious to me.
100%. Do you enjoy when your colleagues fuck up? Or?
Well, especially if they're above me, yeah. I mean, I can't wait. I pounce I have been deemed the Black Panther of the office. You know, I hide in cupboards, lurking in corridors, just waiting for someone to mess
fuck up.
Yeah, and then bang. CB underneath the CEO's door. I saw that Jeremy messed up. I just think I could take his team as well as hold my own. Yeah, just give me a 30 grand pay rise and then get it.
Congratulations. So, yeah.
No, I really do celebrate when people fail. It's one of my favourite things. I hate seeing people do well, especially my peers or people on the side of me. That's just the way I've been built in. That's boarding school for you, though. You know, I've been in the rugby world for quite a long time, and there was one guy. There was a guy in my rugby team, really sweet guy, really lovely guy. We named him Simba. He joined the rugby club. I'd been there for 5 years and Simba joined. Do you remember? And we called him Simba because his dad had died. And he tried to take the ten shirt, the fly half shirt. And I just, you know, I mentally broke him down bit by bit. And then he ended up playing fullback way away from me. So, yeah, he doesn't play with us anymore. He quit.
No. What's he up to?
I don't think he's doing very well mentally. Not at all very well. Yeah, struggling big time. With all kinds of things, yeah.
Apart from that huge tour coming up in 2024, and hopefully we're going to come along and see you on one of those multiple dates. I mean, we've got many dates to choose from. Anything else coming up we should be excited about?
Have you sold out your tour, or are there still tickets
available? Well, I've sold out a lot of dates, so I keep adding them. So I sold out Leicester Square Theatre quickly, so I added Hackney Empire, and now I think it's going to be announced end of this week, but I'm then going to do an autumn leg of the tour.
Oh,
well. Because they just keep adding dates, basically, because it's just sold so well.
Well, there you go. That we'll put the link in the bio so people can click and buy tickets.
Well, you eventually have to go to Hackney for your first time ever.
Oh, you love a bit of Hackney. Summer Solstice, 21st of June.
Do you think you could set up a Zoom for me? Could I send a colleague with a laptop and just like put me on mute? And I mean, you'll see my face going.
This is genuinely, I don't know if I'm snitching on him, but like Jack Wilde, he was talking about something I mentioned somewhere I'd been in East London. He's like, yeah, you know, I just never go. He's always said, I wouldn't go to East London like, in a way that was just like, why would I leave the...
I get a feeling Jack Whitehall also likes to reside in Southwest London, in basically the three C's, Chiswick, Chelsea and Clapham, which, you know what, that's
fine. You don't need anything else, do you?
You don't really. I mean,
it's lovely. I do love it. Yeah.
What about Cricklewood? You said you were going to go to Cricklewood, didn't you?
Cricklewood. Have they got a Gales Bakery?
No, I don't think
so. Then I won't be going. Does he have jet? Or does he have no jet? Does he have jet? Or does he have no
jet? Does he have jet? Or does he have no jet? Gonna ask those questions now. Mo Gilligan.
Oh, chat. Joe
Brand.
Chat.
Josh Whittakin.
No chat.
Romesh Ragnar Nathan.
Chat.
Jack Whitehall.
No chat.
Roisin Kanati.
Roisin Kanati. All the chat. She's got all the chat.
Frankie Boyle before he became woke.
Chat.
And post-wokeism.
No chat.
David Mitchell.
Chat.
Jonathan Ross.
No chat.
And David Earl. Do you know Mr. David Earl?
Oh, chat, mate. Chat.
Yeah. What an interesting and clever man. Yeah. He managed to do character comedy perfectly, in my view.
Perfection.
What is comedy character? What is... character comedy.
Oh, it's basically when you take on a persona and pretend to be that person to try to be funny.
Well, I'm just making sure.
Not my bag. Not my bag. Yeah. Not my bag.
He's in Derek, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. He's perfection.
He is perfection. Well, we can only try and reach for perfection, can't we, Archie?
Yeah, we can. Laura, thank you so much, by the way. Really, really appreciate it.
That was wonderful. Cheers, Laura. Thank you. And we wish you a happy Christmas. We'll see you. See you at
Soho House. Christmas. Love and champagne. Oh, I think she's brilliant.
Well, she was wonderful.
She would do so well in the city.
Good booking.
Because there's not just people like me in the city. There are people that spoke like this.
Right.
And they like to go to the Ned.
Yeah.
And I think they would, you know, she would do really well. She's very funny, intelligent, and beautiful. And I really, really do like her. Shame she's married, really.
Wanna see you in the clubhouse. I wanna see you in the clubhouse. I wanna hear about the time that you met that rugby player.
Well, Archie, next week, before we bring in the wonderful Christmas party news section where we ask people how they've shared themselves or the friends have shared themselves at the Christmas parties.
Just remind them, they've got to write in those stories.
They need to write them into rigbizpod@gmail.com or just send them as a DM, as a voice note to the Rigbiz account.
Or just hold on, do this button.
Another one.
I pressed that button, well, because I think you should repeat the email address.
Oh, repeat the email, okay. Rigbizpod@gmail.com. Write in your things, get them on the podcast. And best one, we'll give some free Samurai Stash tea, which we should say is back in stock for those wanting to buy Christmas presents. The Glab and Falcon Stash is back with Samurai.
Yeah.
So get on there. Links in the bio and buy some stuff on there.
Samurai have got new Clapham Falcon Stash. Perfect gift for Christmas.
Can we get one in the clubhouse?
Yeah.
So, Archie, this one's from a certain Lloyd Burt.
Oh, mate. Okay. Bertie.
Do you know him?
No, but that's what I would be calling him. Okay. Lloyd
clever,
Bertie.
Clever.
Or Berto.
Berto, you add an O or a Y, depending on. Okay, cool.
Go on, what's he going to say? I reckon he's got quite a good chat. There aren't many people called Lloyd these days.
He says chassis.
So his parents are either from South Africa or they're probably poor.
He says chassis. I hope this email finds you well. And thanks for the podcast. It's the highlight of my week.
You are more than welcome, Bertie. Honestly, it's our absolute pleasure, isn't it, Clodus?
It's our honour, Lloyd. I'm writing to you about...
It does actually find me very well ahead of a wonderful silly season.
Good. I'm writing to you about a certain rugby tour we had to Norfolk around 5 years ago, up from Kent.
They must be quite... It must come from a poor area if you're doing a rugby tour to Norfolk.
Yeah, that is quite
depressing. Most people
isn't it?
Go abroad for rugby tours. Yeah. That's... Oh, poor guy.
Yeah.
Poor guy. And that's nice to know. There's this poor little guy somewhere regional.
He's still playing rugby.
Our podcast, the highlight of this week.
Well, we were staying in the Holiday Inn in a retail park.
Oh my God, this is awful. Yeah. Can we have some sad music, Cletus?
Yeah, sure.
This is like the story of Oliver Twist.
We were staying
there in where? Where
we were staying in a Holiday Inn in a retail park in Norfolk.
I've seen those on A roads as I drive past them.
Yeah.
Normally near a petrol station, aren't
they? Depressing, isn't it?
Oh, God, that's awful.
Anyway, the night before our first match, we arrived. And when we arrived, it turned out that the hotel was hosting an annual famous dwarf convention for the UK dwarfs.
Makes sense. Because they can't fill the rooms. Yeah. They've got into conventions to try and make revenue. Clever idea, actually.
Actually, quite good business.
Actually, remind me, can you just write that down? Remind me to connect with the CEO of the Holiday Inn group. I'd just like to congratulate him for getting into conventions. Maybe I can, I can host like a convention there as well.
Yeah, maybe your Triple H, Triple C.
Yeah, I mean, obviously they'll need to pay us a shitload of money. Carry on. I'm not staying there, by the way. Can you just write that down?
Yeah, I'll write that.
I don't want to stay there. It's an awful place.
All the urinals in the ground floor and the toilets had been fitted with steps so that they could step up and piss. And I had a slash next to Warwick Davis.
That's someone decent to have a piss next to.
Have you ever
once had a piss next to Nick Easter in the ship. That was actually, I'd nearly put that on my CV.
It's a big moment.
No, it was quite good stuff. We didn't really talk, but we like nodded at each other. It's quite good stuff. Yeah.
Okay. Anyway,
I've had a piss next to quite a lot of people. Quite a lot of rugby players.
Really?
Yeah. Dave Flatman I had a piss next to. I've got them on my phone actually. I've got a list of people that.
I don't think we've got time for that right now.
Nick Abendanon, I've had a piss next to.
Toby Flood.
Ollie Barkley, Toby Flood, Dylan Hartley, poor guy, smelled like a sausage roll.
Yeah.
Chris Robshaw, Dave Ward, and then there's some sort of people you would never. Goldie, he's a rugby player, but he's not professional, but I had a piss next to him, he plays my team. Anyway, there's a long list. Do you want me to email it in?
Yeah.
You can put it up on Instagram.
Yeah.
Cool.
Just send me that. Anyway,
good. No, fair play to him. That's a good person to have a piss next. Warwick Davis is a really talented guy.
Anyways, turned out the local pub was shut down, so we had to all go get pissed in the hotel bar alongside the convention. Fast forward to midnight, and my mate is doing cocaine with three of the seven dwarfs from the action movie Snow White.
Oh my God,
That's incredible.
Yeah.
And cocaine's got similar effects to pre-workout, hasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, heart goes. Yeah, yeah, you get a bit weird.
But it's more Moorish, I hear.
It is. Yeah. And you can't get sleep as well, I think.
I know several guys who live, like I said earlier, live in East London, addicted to it.
Do cocaine?
Yeah. But one guy I know who I went to school with, he got addicted to cocaine, but then very lucky, his parents sent him to the best rehab in the world, and he had 6 months at a 5-star hotel, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
He's completely clean, and now he's on Instagram, and he's really useful because he sort of tells you how
the dark side was.
And, yeah. And he's completely sober. And he goes on a bit about it, you know. We get it.
So you were addicted to cocaine. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Which we get with this.
Every day he's telling a post about how. Yeah, so, yeah. You know, I'm just like, we get it. We get it. We're not sober. We don't need it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Are you ready?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, sorry. So
he's taking coke with three dwarfs from Snow White. Sadly, they could take it better than he could, and he ended up shitting himself. Was trying to sprint to the loo.
That's quite rugby though. Even without the cocaine.
Yeah.
Like he'd probably be doing. Sounds like the kind of character who would be doing that anyway.
Yeah.
Number of rugby guys I know shit themselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I've got a list as well. I can read that.
No, it's fine.
Famous people.
It's fine. Can I stop the sad music?
Yeah, do now. Now we've got into cocaine and shit yourself. It's not sad. Yeah. It's fun.
Yeah.
Can you have a bit of fun music?
No, let's just get on with this. He couldn't get rid of his shitty pants, so the bins had been replaced with steps for the dwarves.
Nightmare. Yeah. So he's got his shitty pants in his hand then.
I don't know. He should have said. So he had to power on through and go change in his bedroom upstairs.
Oh, okay.
When he got to his room, one of the lady dwarves, I think she was in Game of Thrones, was waiting outside his room out of her mind and demanded to fuck him.
Wow. Okay. So yeah, fair enough.
He panicked and agreed to it.
I don't really know what to say to that.
All 6'4" of him. So there he was, covered in shit, undressing her, before luckily his roommate, who'd passed out earlier, woke up due to the smell, broke them up and sent her away.
Yeah, like so his housemate was like Nigel Owens in a rugby match. Yeah, broke them up.
Yeah.
Something bad.
Enough of that, boys.
Something was going to happen. They came together. It was getting a bit frisky.
Yeah. He woke up out of sleep.
Did his friend have a whistle?
I can email him back and find out.
Can we find out?
Yeah.
Really good mate of his.
Yeah. He's been known ever since as Snow... He's been known ever since as Snow Shite.
That is... Hold on, let me get a button for that. That is...
That's seriously good. Chat.
Good chat.
Yeah, that's so rugby. Okay. So wait, Snow Shite.
Yeah. Snow Shite.
Yeah. Like Snow White, but it's because
Snow cocaine and shite.
Rugby. That is so rugby.
Love and Shampers Lloyd Burt.
Oh, Bertie. For someone who's from somewhere regional and probably is on a low base society, that was a pretty good story. Well done.
So Archie, we're just over 24 hours away from silly season. I know you've got... What are you doing? What's happened?
Just getting rid of all the bad toxins just by me. Can you just mind me?
Ugh, mate. What the fuck are you doing?
Just ahead of silly season, I've been taking this stuff just to get rid of all the bad stuff.
Who gave it to you? Jevon Nicker?
Funny enough, how do you know? Have you got some?
No.
No, it's good. I take it just before it cleanses the body.
Yeah.
It's like going for a clonic irrigation.
Yeah, like an enema.
But it's
just
a... you take a tablet... And then don't eat, and then.
Oh, mate! Fucking not there. It's horrible.
Oh, sorry.
We're gonna get charged.
Can we clean that up?
Yeah, please.
Oh, that looks disgusting. Now, can you get someone to clean that up?
Oh, mate! What the fuck are you doing?
Oh.
That's like Fleming sick and shit.
Oh,
how shit can we eat, man?
That's so much better. Oh my god, that's that pound coin I lost ages ago. That's a limited edition. Anyway.
Jesus, that's the Brexit pound coin. Right, Archie, I mean, you've just thrown it. I'm going to have to let you go.
Let me go and clear that up. But yeah, mate, wonderful, wonderful pod. Just before we go, I've been working on something.
Oh, stinks, mate.
I've been working on something, and this is a little treat to play everyone out ahead of silly season. All I'm going to say, guys, have a wonderful silly season. I'll see you next week, but enjoy. It's silly season. There's no need to be afraid. We'll get so lashed, and business deals, oh, they'll be made. And in this London city, this financial world of ours, get your pre-workout delivered at Christmas time. Woo! But say a prayer. Pray for the Putney ones. In silly season, they've got no chat and they have no fun. But there's a world outside their window, and it's a world of cash and lash. where the champagne never flowing, and the deals are big and brash, and the secretary wants to fuck you, 'cause she really wants a rise. Welcome to this silly season, guys. Guys, come on, get in. That's right, get in here. Sit down. Don't worry about me being topless. Get ready for the end of year presentation.